What about it, punk? Do you bleed orange and blue?
War Eagle!
War Eagle, War Eagle, War Eagle.
Hang on. You're about to enter the AU Fans Podcast with your favorite AU commentators, Vic Herron and Stan Stevens.
Prepare to be entertained and informed. Your life might even change.
And now, your studio host, Keith Maxwell.
All right, here we are another week. We've all been on a break, but we're going to get back up on the horse and try to figure out what's going on. A lot of stuff's happened, but the main thing we'll talk about is, recruiting. Vic, tell me something about Foster. You say he flipped. Which way did he flip? We getting him or is Alabama getting him?
Keith, he is coming to Auburn. He's going to be an Auburn Tiger. And, you know, anytime you have a guy that flips, you always worry about him, you know, possibly flipping again. But I believe Ruben went ahead and tattooed the Auburn logo on his arm, and I think he's about as committed as you can have one committed. So, and he's recruiting hard for Auburn, so I don't think we have to worry too much about him flip-flopping back. But now, Keith, and of course, Stan, you know this as well. This is incredible news, to be honest with you. You know, we've talked about this several times as far as this is a possibility. You know, he's hinted a lot with Trey Matthews is committed to Georgia that they were going to play together. Of course, Trey Matthews is still committed to Georgia. But obviously they were looking around, and the whole time when he moved to Auburn High School, you know, I know that made all the Bama folks nervous, and being able to be right there in Auburn just made it hard, I think, for Ruben not to get wrapped up in that. We know how great it is at Auburn, and once you get around that atmosphere, it's just hard to turn that down. And he wasn't able to, and he's going to be an Auburn Tiger. And I don't know about you, Stan, but that guy looks as good as any linebacker I've ever seen on film. I mean, this recruiting has gotten to be more of an exact science than it used to be, because there's so much footage and they put these guys against each other. And this guy just looks like the perfect middle linebacker to me. What do you think about it, Stan?
Well, yeah, I saw some film on him, and he's just incredibly fast. You know, that's what stood out on me, was just how quick he was. And like you said, Vic, they run the camps now. Of course, they have a lot more footage that they can study, and then they have all the camps. Plus, it's a need issue even for us. I mean, the one area where we've really need some help is at linebacker. I think that's the one place where everybody feels like we're thin. So, I think that's the start of a great class.
Right. Well, and you're talking about with Ruben Foster and Trey Johnson, you know, two of the top-rated linebackers in the country, and just incredible, you know, to think about putting them out there together. And you add those two guys with the talent of somebody like a Chris Frost, who's already at Auburn, you know, you got the potential there to have one of the greatest linebacker groups that we've ever assembled at Auburn, and we've had some good ones over the years. So that's just, you know, and of course, all of it is just projections and what you think, but they're a lot better at projecting these things now than they used to be. So, you know, it's just exciting. And, you know, the other nice thing about Ruben Foster is he's one of those kids who has such a great personality that a lot of guys like being around him. He makes friends easy, and everybody knows he's a great player, and so other great players want to play with him. So it's having a huge impact, I think, on our overall recruiting, the fact that he has flipped to us. And you're hearing a lot of names out there of – and, of course, we're quickly filling up, you know.
That's right.
You know, the problem I think we're going to have this year is, you know, this needed to be a year that we could offer 25, and I just don't believe we're going to be able to be honest with you. I think that we're going to get caught in the numbers crunch a little bit this year. But it's exciting, you know, to have these kind of caliber players. I was looking at the ESPN 150, and if Montrevious Adams does commit to Auburn, and a lot of people are even speculating that maybe he even is a solid commitment now. Now, you know, we've been burned a lot of times with these so-called solid commitments. But, you know, he's a guy that's been to Auburn on several occasions and seems to really enjoy it there, and seems to be good buddies with Ruben Foster and Carl Lawson and D-Liner and some of these guys. And it just seems like that, you know, it's a good fit for him at Auburn. We really need a defensive tackle, and he's the top-rated defensive tackle in the country. And if he does commit to Auburn, on the ESPN 150 stand, that's four of the top 11 players that's ranked on the ESPN 150. Now, that's impressive.
Amazing.
And that's amazing. I know USC, out on the West Coast is having a great class as well. But to be honest with you, if we pull off some of these that we're in on that, you know, is looking good for us, you know, it's going to be us and USC a good bit ahead of everybody else. And I don't know who will be one or two or whatever. I know USC's has a great class that they've assembled out there too. But I don't think there'll be any question that this is the best class that Auburn's ever put together.
And, I mean, that's saying a lot. Vic, I mean, just think about these last – well, really since Coach Chizik got there, especially after his first full year with Coach Trooper, Coach Taylor and Coach Looper and Coach Thigpen. I mean, we've got some of the best, recruiters. And it doesn't sound like that Coach Van Gorder and Coach Leffler are bad either. I mean, I heard Coach Chizik talking at media days about, you know, having the pro experience that those guys have along with, I'm excited about Coach Leffler. I just think, and I loved Coach Malzahn, but with Proch, you know, becoming eligible, and I was looking at the talent we have, a lot of it raw and unproven. But I don't know, Vic. I mean, you know, me and you both have been following this thing since, you know, late '60s and early '70s kind of thing. And I don't know that we've ever had this many players at one time where you just had. I mean, it's like three pretty top 10 classes in a row, right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, it's just like the stuff that amazes me just keeps happening. Just like Derek Green, you know, the number one running back in the country on Rivals site, in Auburn, loved it, said it was better than any place he's ever been. You know, now I don't know if we're going to get that guy or not. A lot of people are saying that Greg Bryant, who is also one of the top four running backs in the nation, who's right now committed to Oklahoma, they're acting like basically – you know, we can't even decide which one of those two guys that we want to take. Now, you know, a lot of the information that I get comes from Auburn folks, you know, so it's always right. Going to be slanted a little bit, you know, to us. But, you know, sure. It's just the riches that we're having right now just seems unbelievable. I mean, we're not even mentioned yet, you know, Jordan Wilkins, who, you know, I watched film on that guy. That guy's unbelievable.
Yeah, he was. I saw footage on him the other day. Just amazing. And, I mean, really – if you look at what we have, and of course, I know Omac's a senior, but, I mean, I've read a lot about Trey Mason this summer and the added weight to Coach Yocks, but I'm not a ton, but, you know, he's up around maybe close to 210, between 205 and 210, and apparently he's just chiseled. And, I mean, the guy already ran, a couple of kickoffs back. I mean, he had big numbers from South Florida when we signed him. And then Mike Blakely was – well, you remember Blakely was the guy we wanted.
Well, he was a top 30 player in the country. You know.
And then Corey Grant. So, I don't know. The talent level, it seems like at every position right now is – except, like I say, the only place I see where we're a little bit numbers-wise thin is linebacking. And then with Reuben Foster and these others, I don't know. So
future looks bright, man, I'm telling you. Well, we got four linebackers committed right now, Reuben Foster and Trey Johnson being two of the top linebackers in the country. But the guy up there in your neck of the woods, though, Cam Toney, I mean,
right.
That guy looks like a monster, you know. And then Jared Davis, they're saying that, like, he – is going to probably wind up playing about 6'2", 235, and can fly. I mean, that's four quality athletes right there playing linebacker for you, and it's just impressive to think about, you know. Of course, you know, the Jared Davis wasn't highly recruited. Of course, he's a little undersized right now, but his projections are just, you know, through the roof as far as what he's capable of doing. So, you know, that I think we've – you know, sort of fixed the problem there, you know, because you always want to recruit every year to, you know, to – just make sure that you're always just reloading with the kind of talent that we want to have. Now, I heard today, Stan, with what's going on at Penn State, that a quarterback that had committed to Penn State, Christian Hackenberg, have you heard of this?
I hadn't heard this.
And to be honest with you, I've been following recruiting all year. I hadn't really heard that guy's name mentioned with Auburn. Evidently, he committed early to Penn State. But right now, I think it's going to come down to Auburn and South Carolina for that guy's signature. I think he really wants to come to Auburn. Of course, now we've taken two quarterback commitments already. Would we take another one? Well, a lot of speculation that, you know, Jason Smith was really signed not necessarily to play quarterback, but because he's a great athlete.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know, you know, but this guy has tore it up at camps and stuff. You know, he was rated number 7 quarterback in the country, but he's outperformed a lot of guys, to be honest with you. He's a big-timer that was committed to Penn State. And, you know, now they're saying that he's probably going to decommit from Penn State, and he really sort of wants to come to Auburn, but he's going to look at South Carolina as well. And, you know, do you take 3 quarterbacks when you got a great one out there that wants to come? I don't know.
It is tough. It's tough to know. Like I say, I think you're right about Jason Smith. I think he's going to be a great player for us. I don't know that quarterback is where he was going to end up. But, I mean, that kid from Carver we got, if we didn't get anybody but him, from what I've seen about him, I would be happy with that. So, of course, that's the luxury that we have as being fans and not coaches, because that would be – that's the kind of stuff that would keep me up at night, to have that much talent and to know, you know, which guy do you take, you know, who do you not. And that's a good problem to have.
It really is. You know, and – the other day, Stan, I was looking through a list of, like, the top 100 guys, and even the ones that we've missed out on, you know, and I was disappointed that we didn't get Khalil Rogers, you know, that wound up going to USC, top offensive guard in the country. Mm-hmm. You know, I was excited about that guy because he had really shown out at a lot of the camps and stuff, you know, so I was really hoping to get him. Of course, we signed 7 offensive linemen last year, so that's obviously not a huge position of need for us, but every year you'd like to sign, you know, at least a couple offensive linemen. And I don't know that we will or not. We might can get Tyrone Crowder from North Carolina to come. But who knows? You know, I don't know. But, you know, you just look through the whole list of all the players. I mean, we're in on so many guys. And it's just like this Christian Hackenberg. You know, I'm sure that, you know, Coach Leffler's, you know, relationship with Tom Brady and all that, and that guy being from up there in the Northeast, you know, that probably made a huge impact for us, you know, when Coach Leffler came to Auburn. I mean, it's just amazing what's going on right now at Auburn as far as recruiting goes. And, you know, and it's just like you said, through the last 3 years we've been in the top 10. So this is not like it's brand new for us. We've been recruiting well the last 3 years, but it's almost like we're taking it even to another level.
That is just mind-boggling. I mean, if you can take it any higher than – I mean, like I say, these last 2 classes were just – I mean, just loaded with players, and so I.
Right.
Well, winning a national championship's got to help that, right?
Well, and they always say, Keith, that like it's not the year that you win the national championship that it's really going to pay off for you. It's a year down the road, because a lot of these kids, by the time that you're winning the national championship, they've already sort of made up their mind. You know, they've already built relationships with schools and coaches, and they've kind of already made up their mind where they're going to go. But it's those younger kids, those 9th and 10th graders that you're recruiting, that really take note of that national championship that you won. So it winds up a lot of times paying off for you down the road, because you've proven now to these high-caliber recruits that you can win on a huge level, you know, if you have the players. So
I think that's
what we're seeing.
I mean, it doesn't hurt Keith on a lot of different levels. I mean, first of all, Auburn being in the Southeastern Conference, having won the national championship, then you've got guys, you know, name guys like Cam Newton and others. And then
our biggest games against the other national champions. So,
well, that's right. I mean, that draws a lot of attention playing Alabama and competing against them. But also, I'm telling you, bringing in Brian Van Gorder and Scott Leffler, both Leffler with his connections with Brady, having been in the NFL himself, he coached Tebow. There's a lot of things that when he sits down with a kid and his family, well, he can open up his portfolio and say, hey, this is in my war. And, I mean, Van Gorder, I mean, come on. I mean, the guy was with the Falcons. He knows. He can look a kid in the eye and say, this is what it takes to make it in the NFL. I mean, the guy was a coordinator for 6 years in the National Football League. You can't buy that kind of experience necessarily when you're recruiting. So, throwing those guys in there, and with Trooper Taylor and Cam, Curtis Looper and the abilities, and Coach Thigpen apparently is a great closer, a great relationship guy. Coach Chizik, I mean, everything I read from these kids, they always talk about, you know, how genuine Coach Chizik was. I'm telling you, Coach Chizik was underrated. People didn't know, but he's proven to be, at least in my opinion, to be the kind of guy we need at Auburn, and he certainly put the recruiting at a level with his staff that we've maybe never had. And, we've had some guys. I mean, Coach Dye and his staff were, you know, they were not novice at recruiting. So, unless something happens just unforeseen, we're going to have players to compete, every year for the very top spot.
Right,
I think it's,
and that's really,
I
all,
think
and that's really all you can ask
year.
For. Long as you get the talent level that you can compete with anybody in the country, then you've got an opportunity. You know, and then if you can get the talent level a little bit better than everybody else's, then you really got a great shot. You know, and that, you know, in all honesty, that's what you've seen at Alabama the last couple of years. I mean,
that's
they've
right.
had some incredible talent. You know, now that, Coach Saban's a good coach, and they had other good coaches, but you know, you can't win without talent. And you know, if you're putting what, five guys in first round of the NFL last year? Is that what Bama did?
Yeah.
Four or five, I can't remember. I think it was, you know, four or five guys in the first round of the NFL. I mean, that's some talented guys right there, you know. So,
well, that's right. And, there's no secret to Coach Saban their success. I mean, obviously they work hard, and he, you know, I mean, coaches, I mean, he's a good coach, and it starts with players, and that's what we have now. I mean, I think we have the players. Sometimes our guys, I thought it was funny. One of the reasons I really felt good right before Reuben Foster flipped that he was going to, he had, on one of the lists, he had dropped from like two second recruit or first recruit in the country down to seventh. For no reason. And some Auburn people pointed that out and said, he's going to flip because he's left Bama and he's dropped to seventh. And sure enough, the next day from when I saw that is when he announced he was coming to Auburn. So, you know, but they've got their quality players, but I mean, I think we can match them, at least right now, almost player for player, if not.
Right, I agree. And you're right in that we're not getting the respect, and I don't know if we want to transition a little bit into the SEC media days a little bit, but we're not getting the respect that we deserve based on the talent that we have. You know, we've had these conversations a lot. You know, you drink the Kool-Aid. You're thinking we're not going to lose any. And I still say we're maybe like a year away because we're still pretty young. But the reality is we have enough talent, you know, and I'm like you, Stan. I'm starting to read some stuff that's really starting to get me excited when you read stories about what Kyle Frazier's doing in the offseason and how he's impressed his teammates and those kind of things and his leadership that they keep talking about, you know. Can he have that magical year, that special year? I was reading the other day where Emory Blake was talking about how Kyle has a stronger arm than Cam Newton. Now, do you believe that?
I'll say this.
That's what Emory Blake said. Now, I have a hard time believing that.
If that is true, all of a sudden I'm not going to be able to take that much credit for going 13-0, 14-0.
Yeah.
I mean – If he's that strong, if his arm's that good, because I'm telling you right now, and just remember where you heard this, the fullback. I told some guys, and they looked at me funny, but Jay Prose, that fullback is going to make, if he can stay healthy, to me, he's the key. And I'm telling you, when I saw that the NCAA grant his waiver, it was hard to contain my excitement because that guy will make the running game. He'll make everything. I mean, some of those young offensive linemen miss a blitz. Prost is going to be there to tattoo somebody coming in. He's going to open up holes, running the football. O-Mac, Blakely, Grant, Mason, they're going to go the distance maybe one time, maybe two times in the game, or go further just by having that guy in the hole. Count on it. It's going to happen. If it doesn't happen, you can bring that up to remind me of that. It's on tape.
Yeah, right. It's on tape, and we'll have a lot of stuff on tape before we're done, and then you'll be held accountable for all the things.
I'm ready for it. I feel, and this was another funny thing. I think it was ESPN picked us on had that one of those shows, and they were going through there, and they picked us like 6-6. And one of the things that a buddy of mine was sharing with me, I didn't see the show that they were counting against us, was we had two new coordinators. All right, but Clemson, who's got Brent Venables, who came from Oklahoma, on the heels of them giving up 70, well, they didn't count that against them, and that's why they picked Clemson to beat us. And I'm thinking,
Thing about that, Stan, is they graduated quite a few of those guys, which you would say, well, if you gave up 70, maybe they need to graduate. But, you know, that was the best guys they had. They put out the best guys they had. So, you know, you're right. That's an issue for them.
I'll put Van Gorder against anybody out there. I really would. I mean, for what he did at Georgia. I mean, Georgia was never – Georgia was always, you know, junkyard dogs, and they were solid, you know, when Art Russell was there. Again, I pointed that out before. I mean, an Auburn guy. But Van Gorder, I mean, they were like third in the nation or whatever they were one of the years. And his intensity and these guys being a year older, a year with Yach stronger. I mean, I think you saw a little bit of what they could do when Coach Chizik took it against Virginia. I mean, we had not been stopping anybody. And Virginia, you know, had a decent offense. And, we really got after it. Well, I can only imagine how much it's going to be ratcheted up come this fall with Van Gorder and with Willie Martinez. I mean, our DBs need a swagger. I mean, they really do. I mean, the front. You know, the front four, I mean, again, we've talked about it with Lemonnier and Ford and Nosa coming back, Whitaker. I mean, I don't know. Maybe linebacking is a place where we can't afford an injury or, you know, maybe. Right. But Bates was picked. Speaking of the one place, I guess he was picked second team all conference. This is his fourth year.
A lot of it may depend on Chris Frost's development. You know, the guy's got all the talent in the world, but can he actually do the job? You know, and I think he can. I think he will. You know, but you know, Jonathan Evans, he's not a terrible player. You know, he's a serviceable guy. You know, can Casanova McKenzie come in and give us some minutes and help out a little bit? And then a lot of it's going to fall on Jake Holland. You know, can Jake be the guy if he stays injury free? Can he be the guy that really solidifies that middle part of our defense there? And if he is, then I think you're right. I think the defense is going to be incredibly improved. Well, you're going to get better linebacker play simply because you're going to get better defensive line play. And just like you mentioned in the Virginia game, you know, you saw Angelo Blackson and Gabe Wright in there making some plays in that game. Those guys have got another year under them now. They've gotten some experience, you know, and so you got some competition for that. You got some rotation that you can have there. It's going to make a world of difference. And that's going to make our linebacker play much better. But you're right, we can't afford any injuries at the linebacker corps. You know, those guys need to stay healthy.
We need a little luck there. I think Jake Holland is. I've already thought he took way too much heat for as young as he was. I mean, that guy's going to be. He's going to hit some people. Hit them hard this year. I like Holland. You know, I compared him. You know, Josh Bynes got better each year because Josh Bynes got more experience. Josh wasn't the fastest guy in the 40, but he kind of had a nose for the football. And Jake Holland's that same kind of guy. So, again, if he doesn't come through, you know, blame it on me. But I think the guys – I'm going to be with the guy right now. I think he's going to get it done.
What do you think, Keith?
He's
gone AWOL on us, man.
I was eating.
That's right. Hey, Keith. That's right, Keith. You can go back. You can go back and continue to work on your civil engineering projects. By the way, any you AU fans out there, .com folks that need any civil engineering kind of need, Maxwell Engineering is the company to go to. So
that's our moderator right there, man. He's the man to go to, no doubt about it.
That's an unpaid ad there. I like that. I appreciate that plug.
Nothing wrong with that. Hey, listen, Stan. Let me get your opinion on this. Now, obviously, the SEC Media Days came out, picked us fourth in the West. You know, of course, I know you're picking us to go undefeated and win every game, probably by 23 points or more. But really, I mean, how do you see the West shaking out? Not just Auburn, but how do you see it shaking out? If you can go ahead and put Auburn there at the top, because I know you're gonna. But who do you think really is? You know, I know Alabama and LSU's got to be up there, but can Arkansas maintain it with the good quarterback and, you know, John L. Smith coming in there? What do you think about all that?
Well, I think Arkansas is going to be good. I think John L. Smith proved in a couple of places he's a decent coach. He's loose. He really doesn't have anything to lose. And I think they're going to. I think they're talented, and that was one of the reasons why people thought Petrino and them might have a shot at the national title. But again, one of the reasons I go with Auburn is the schedule. I mean, I'm not just totally. You know, last year I hoped for 14-0, but I didn't think it was realistic. But I mean, when you play, you know, the LSU, Arkansas, Georgia's at home, I mean, that gives you a big advantage coming to Jordan-Hare Stadium. Now, again, all my eggs, unfortunately, are in the Clemson basket. I mean, if you get a win there in the Georgia Dome, that is going to be a tremendous push for us, and I think sends us into that 11 o'clock game the next week against Mississippi State with a better team than State. And, I mean, we've played pretty well against them. I mean, we hadn't just blown them out, obviously, but we've beaten them now several years in a row, and I think we're better than they are. And then, of course, you got the big test, LSU. To me, LSU is still, and I did finally read somebody say something about, you know, there's going to be a little hangover effect, Vic, from the way they got handled by Alabama in that title game. Not only did they just get shut down and shut out, but there was you know, rumors, and it's been going back and forth what really happened down there, you know, before the game or, you know, leading up to the game, whether they had some internal stuff, but their quarterback, who's getting a lot of love, and I mean, I think he's probably going to be a great, you know, great athlete. This will be his first big test away from, you know, they'll have played like what University of Washington and Idaho and somebody, Northwestern State, you know, before they come to Auburn. I think that's why we beat them at Auburn, is because it's going to be his first game, and it's going to be allowed. If we've done what I think we're going to do, then that's going to be a tough game on him. And again, if you can beat LSU, if you can, and I think we will, then the other games are at least games that you should be able to win.
Well, it puts us into, if we're sitting there after the LSU game 4-0, then it puts us in, I'm not going to say the driver's seat, because you don't know what Alabama and Arkansas will have done at that point in time, but like, it definitely puts us in a huge advantage or a huge opportunity for us, at least moving forward. And then, just like you're talking about, you know, the confidence that we'll have at that point in time. But we'll still be a young team. Even if we were to be 4-0, we could still stumble and get the big head or whatever. I'd like to think Coach Chizik would, you know, keep that from happening. But, you know, you're still going to be playing a lot of good teams. But,
well,
yeah,
I mean,
a 4-0 start would be huge.
I mean, and you're right. LSU's going to be there. Alabama, I mean, obviously they play each other. Alabama, Arkansas, you know, that's an early game. That's in the first three or four games there for Arkansas and Alabama. So somebody's going to take a lick there.
Right.
I think Bama, what I think Bama's looking at is just kind of like we are in that first game. Playing Michigan, if Alabama beats Michigan – and maybe and beats them and handles them, then I think Nick will have put them back on the road kind of where they left off. If Michigan wins that game, and, you know, by the way, Al Borges is 5-0 against the Tide. So
there you go.
I think Michigan's going to have a good football team. I mean, Michigan's played well under Brady Hoke. The Borges offense has been solid for them. You know, I don't think you can put that in the W column for the Tide yet. And if Alabama loses that one, all of a sudden they may start experiencing a little bit like what they did, you know, 2 years ago.
Right.
They lost, I mean, you know, like you pointed out, they lost, like, what, five guys in the first round? They lost, I don't know, eight or nine starters on defense or whatever it was.
Right. That's a lot of guys to replace. Now, I know they've recruited well. They've got talented guys. But
they've got talented guys.
Those guys were starters for a reason, though.
Well, that's right. And so I don't think you can just, you know, like these publications, I'm not ready to just hand it over to LSU, who lost their best cornerback. I mean, everybody talks about the Honey Badger, but that Claiborne guy on the corner was bad news. And,
yep.
and then losing, having a brand new quarterback. Again, they get a lot of love and kind of penciled into the next round kind of thing. I'm not going to do it, not this year. Nobody thought we were going to do anything 2 years ago. So I think that's what's going. That's why I think we're going to be there. Now, you know, if Clemson kicks our tails, then you know I'm probably moving to a South Pacific island somewhere.
Well, it definitely changed. I don't think because we're young, I don't think we'll just like fold up shop or anything like that. But I definitely agree with you that, you know, it's probably not going to be an SEC West championship and with a chance to play for it all if we don't get through that Clemson game. But, you know, I'm telling you, it's I really am starting to buy in a little bit. You know, we'll learn more once preseason practice gets started. And I'd love to see Kyle Frazier just grab that starting quarterback job right off the bat and go ahead and get named. He's the starter, and let's move forward. I definitely think that he gives us our best chance to be successful. And I'm not trying to knock Clint Mosley, but Clint wins the job, and then he's my man. He's my quarterback, and I'll be all for him. But I think what Kyle brings to the table just gives us that opportunity to not just be a good team, but to possibly be a great team if he plays great.
Well, that's right. And let's remember this about Kyle. I mean, he was one of the top quarterbacks in the country when Coach Malzahn and Coach Chizik signed him. I mean, he was in everybody's top whatever. And physically, and I mean, I'm still trying to get my head around on that Emory Blake comment. I mean, I'm putting that on a sign on above my desk.
Stronger arm than Cam Newton.
Now, if that's drinking,
that exact quote. His quote was, Cam threw hard, but Kyle Frazier throws harder.
Well,
that he is throwing the ball harder than Cam Newton, and he's doing a great job with his reads and progressions and all that kind of stuff. Makes you sound like the guy's, you know, going to be a potential Heisman Trophy candidate. I know he'll go through some growing pains, but, you know, hopefully it won't cost us a game. And then, you know, by that LSU game at least, he's clicking on all cylinders.
Well, and there you go. But I'm going to put Emory Blake up there with me on the Kool-Aid drinking if Kyle's not the – if he's not the guy. But, it's going to be interesting to see how the fall and again, injuries and things like that that you just can't foresee at this point can make a huge difference. What would have happened if Cam Newton would have gone down in the fall 2 years ago? So – but right now, I think we're poised. But, again, the other thing, and you know this – We're not on the radar anywhere in the best football it seems like we've ever played. Going into 2004, whatever, 2010, and now this year, when we're picked 30th and 4th, and we've got what we've got, I don't know. I think we've shown that Auburn just excels in that kind of environment.
As far as recruiting, and it still just baffles me, I guess. We're talking about recruiting in the summer. And they really don't sign until February, right?
Right. First
That's
Wednesday
right.
in February. And like me and Vic talked about a few, I guess maybe the last podcast, this is a change in recruiting. And Vic, I even saw something the other day where they talked again about maybe an early signing period in football. Don't be surprised if in the next few years that happens.
Right. And I think that's probably a good thing from the standpoint that these kids are getting harassed. You know, obviously this year I wouldn't have wanted them to change that early enough for Ruben to be signed with Alabama already, but it worked out well for us this year. Last year, obviously, if we could have got T.J. Yeldon signed up before he had a change of heart, that would have been good for us as well. So, you know,
it's going to cut both ways on you. But
right.
I think in the long run, what I like about it is it does take, you know, you get commitments and, give it a little bit of time, but then, you know, give the kid the time to, you know, if he wants to legitimately check a place out and change his mind, I got no problem with that. I don't want a kid to be at Auburn if he doesn't love and is not happy with Auburn. And that's what Trooper Taylor has said. You get these kids to Auburn, then you'll know whether you're going to have a shot at the kid.
Right.
I mean, it's something about that place. And it ain't just me and you, Vic. I mean, there is something. I've had even some friends of mine that had not been to Auburn say, wow, you know, I mean, I didn't realize the place was like that. So, I mean, that's not just Auburn people that love Auburn saying that. But you get a kid down there, he looks it over. If he doesn't want to go to Auburn, you don't want kids coming there that they're not committed to going there.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I'm good with that.
Let's see, how far are we away from kickoff, Stan?
Well, here's what you need to be as far as the show, Keith. I mean, we're about 9 days away from the fall practice start.
Okay.
And once fall practice gets here, you know, Vic, I mean, there'll be stuff for us to talk every Sunday to talk about what happened in, you know, that week's of practice leading up to the season opener.
Well, y'all gonna have to come down and go to a practice, it sounds like, too, you know.
I'd love to be able to do that.
Huh?
I'd love to be able to do that. Now that we're in the media stand, surely we can get a pass to go in there, right?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I think we need to work on it. Keith, you need to work on that for us.
You're right, I do.
Can't you give somebody down at Auburn some free civil engineering, some
Well,
I kept waiting on my credentials so that I could go to Hoover to the SEC media days, but they never came. So one of these days, maybe we get big enough that we're showing up at SEC media days.
I'm telling you, we're going to be the next. You know, it's going to be the next Rick and Bubba, man. We're going to bust it wide open. After all my predictions come true, I will be the guru.
No doubt about it.
Stan the Greek. All right, guys. I enjoyed it. Enjoyed listening to hearing about it, and I finally did figure out Reuben Foster's an inside linebacker.
There you go.
So anyway, I got that, and it looks like we got three on the ESPN 150 top 10. We got three so far out of the top 10.
Right.
But anyway,
yeah, impressive.
All right, guys. Yeah. I appreciate it. We enjoyed it. We'll talk to you guys again next week.
All right.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay, Vic, right. Take care. We look forward to next Sunday.
All